Let me tell you what Mitzvah, the plan is. I hope. So we're going to learn Kesher Shem Tov now until after Yontiv, until after Sukkos. And then we're going to begin to try to put the Kesher Shem Tov, these Yesidus and other Yesidus that we've been learning over the years into action, to practice. The remarkable Sefer that came out a short time ago from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shimon Morgenstern, some of you might have heard of it. It's called Bayom Darkecha. Bayom Darkecha. Oh, I have it. It's at home. Bayom Darkecha, which is really a remarkable manual for Avoda al Derech HaBaal Shem Tov. There have been a number of contrasts and booklets that have come out. It doesn't say the Mechaber, but it's not based Medrash. And I bought... I was able to get 40 copies so far of the Sefer, and I'll give them to Chevra. And on Eretz Yisrael, it's probably easy to get, I would imagine. But over here, it's not so pushed, but I have a bunch, and Mitzvah Shem for the people who are going to be coming. Or by then, I'm hoping we'll be able to learn together in person. But the intention is that we'll continue also to have a Zoom going because it's easier. Obviously, there are chevra that are not able to be here, and we'll try to continue with the Zoom as well. But for now, we have the schus to learn from the Torah of Hashem, Kesher Shem Tov. These are all the yesidus that of Chassidus, and we're on page 202, Simon Ayin Zayin. Ayin Zayin, page 202. Let me see. This is too high up. One second. Okay. Me'bal Shem Tov. Be your Mishnah to always have his Zohir begachalton shel Chachamim. The Mishnah says, have his Zohir begachalton shel Chachamim. You should be very careful with the burning coals, the fiery coals of the Chachamim, that you shouldn't get burned. You shouldn't get burned. The bite of a Chacham is like of a snake. And the Akitza, the getting like with a thorn, is like that of a scorpion. And all of the words, all the teachings of the Chachamim are like fiery coals. So be careful. The simple pshat is be careful how you relate to the Chachamim, and be careful how you argue with the Chachamim, how you respect and so on, Their words are gachalei esh, fiery coals, and if you're not careful with the chachamim, you could get burned, you can get bitten, and so on. That's what we're familiar with. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So the Baal Shem Tov taught ki kaidem halimud amru milsa de b'dichusa kaidem halimud. Amro Milsa de B'dichusa. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that it was the custom of Rabba, and Mestama was a widely kept Mahalach, but the Gemara there is talking about Rabba. You look in footnote 4, and it tells us the Gemara. Rabbi Mekamed Pasach Lul Rabban, we've spoken about this Gemara many times. But Rabbi, before he would begin the Shir, Omer Milsa de B'dichusa. Before he would begin to say the Shir, he would say Milsa de B'dichusa. He would joke. He would joke with the Talmidim. Ubadche Rabbanan, he would be Mesameach them. He would cause them to be happy, to laugh. The Saif Yosef Be'emesa u'pasach b'shmaitza. That after a little bit of a joke at the beginning of the shiur, then he would continue on saying the Torah with great aimer, fear, and awe, and reverence. Then he would continue with the shiur. That's the Gemara. So the Baal Shem Tov says, V'ha'inyan, what's this milsa de b'dichusa? What are the gachli eish? What are the fiery coals? And what is the importance of saying a milsa de b'dichusa before the learning? What does it mean? So v'ha'inyan ki eish katnis v'gadlus bo'olam shana nefesh. Because in Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, in all three dimensions of reality, in the world, in time, and in the soul, there's katnus and there's godness. There's smallness and there's greatness. There's katnus and there's godness. There's a constricted, small state, and then there's godless. There's an expanded consciousness. There's katnus and there's godless. By de milsa de b'dichusa, oylem and hakatnus, umizdagbik begadlus. And by means of a milsa de b'dichusa, a humorous word, a joke, one is able to ascend and lift things up from a place of katnus, and to be mizdabek begadlus. I mean, the simple thing, the simple pshat that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is saying, is that when a person's heart is closed, when a person is in a place where he doesn't have cheshek and rotzen, he's not filled with excitement, with simcha, with rotzen, so then as a result of that, his consciousness is in a place of katnus, and he's not able to fully comprehend even matters of the intellect. He's not able to reach the full use of all of his faculties, of all of his koiches, because he's in a constricted state. And therefore the purpose of the milsa de b'dichusa, the purpose of that humor, is to lift off that stone that covers the heart, to allow for an openness where there's cheshek and rotzen, where there's will and excitement, simcha and so on. And then as a result of that, the person is now able to be mizdabek begadlus. He's able to attach himself to something beyond himself. Because when a person is in a place of katnus, he's very wrapped up in himself. He's very closed and wrapped up in himself. His inyonim, whatever his inyonim are. And he doesn't have that openness to be able to receive, to be able to hear. And because of that, even though he might be a very, very bright person, a very bright person who's able to understand very deep things, but because he's in a place where he's closed, and he doesn't have cheshek and rotzen, So he's going to be very limited. He's going to be stuck in his katnus. Obviously, atzva, sadness, rosh chari, depression, and so on, cause a person to be extremely limited, because he's stuck in a small place, in a dark place. I've mentioned a few times over the past couple of years that when we were zeichet to be with the chaver by years ago, we were zeichet to be by the chaver by the tzion, by the kever of the Rebbe of Naftali Rapshitzer, who was the master of Milsa de Bdichusa. He was actually a great badchan by Chasnas. There are many stories about the badchanas of the Rapshitzer. He was the funniest tzaddik from the Talmid Baal Shem. He was the funniest of all the tzaddikim. But Naftali Rapshitzer, we have Baruch Hashem many humorous things that he said. And I'm sure there are many, many, many more that we don't have, and we know that he said about himself how the best jokes were the ones that he couldn't tell. He said that's why he was so big, because he was holding in all of the jokes that he couldn't tell. So when we were by the scene of Anthony Rapshitzer, one of the chaver, the one who was actually taking us there, Eli Slamwitz, so he said something over from the Rapshitzer that I've mentioned over the years. It's a very deep word that the Rapshitzer asked, what was the milsa de b'dichus that Hashem told at Maimon HaSinai? Because Maimon HaSinai was the most choshever, the most serious shiur that was ever given in history, was Maimon HaSinai. So since we see that there needs to be an opening up from katnus to godless, and that Rabbah would tell a joke before he gave a shiur, so it must be that the Baruch Shalom said a good joke before he gave over the biggest shiur there ever was, which is the shiur of Anoich Hashem Lekach. It must be that he gave the best joke that there ever was before such a chashev shiur. So the Rapshitzer asked, what was the milsa de b'dichusa before Maimon HaSinai? See, remember what the Rapshitzer said is this. The Gemara tells us that, you all know the Gemara says that Hashem held a mountain over our heads, and he said that if you receive the Torah, good, if you're interested. If not, I'm going to drop the mountain on you. So it's a scary thing. The Torah is asking, what kind of Kabbalah Torah is that, and so on. So the Rapshitzer said that Hashem held the mountain over our heads, and he said, I'm going to kill you. And then everybody that was terrified, and Hashem said, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I've never do that to you. I'm just kidding. Take it easy. And he put the mountain back down. Everything was okay, and everybody was laughing. And then he said, Anoichi Hashem. Okay, it's like dark humor, but Jews are good at that. So that was the milsa de b'dichusa of Maimon HaSinai. One has to be taken from katnus to a place of godless, where the avodas Hashem should be filled with chiyus. And there's nothing like a joke, there's nothing like a milsa de b'dichusa to take away that heaviness and to bring a person to a place of chiyus. So Baal Shem Tov teaches, V'hine bizman ha-gadlus sheba'olam ozu dovug ba'yizbarach kipshutai. Now, when a person is in a place of godless, he's learning Torah, and he's in a place of godless, also dovuk by Yisbarach kipshuta, then he's dovuk to Hashem, he's attaching himself to Hashem, kipshuta, in a clear and obvious way. Masha'en kein bimei hakatnas. So when the person has to close the sefer and go to work, or it's a time in his life that he's not able to learn for whatever reason, because of different tirdis, and he's not able to be in the official world of godless. His family needs him, his work needs him. So now he has to close the sefer, and he is not able to be in the world of godless. So he knew his man had godless. So by the way, the dovah grace about kipshuta. Masha ain't can be mea katnas. Masha ain't can be mea katnas. But when he now has to be in the world of katnas, of smallness, take care of children, taking care of customers, whatever it is. But he's in the place of katnas. Masha ain't can be mea katnas. She is by lam. Az tsarech ha'odam milchama gedoyla sheyuchal eskarev elov yisbar. When a person is in a place of katnas, if you're among people who are very, very far from godless, somebody was literally crying to me, a very chashuv friend was literally crying to me from the shul, was crying to me last week about how he tries so hard with his learning and his davening, and then when he comes to Shabbos table, the way it is with his family, he's tried over the years, but the way it is with his family is that he's got some older kids, whatever, but, and the way it is with the family is that it's all total nonsense, you know, talking about movies, talking about politics. I could tell by the smiles that there are others who have struggled with this challenge as well, I think. Everybody does. You know, you have a gewaldige davening, and a gewaldige seder limud, and then you come back and it's like unbelievable katnas. You don't have to even go to work. You could just be in your own house. It could be unbelievable katnas. It's just an Irish guide, you know. It's hard to listen to. I'm not talking about chasus on lashon hara v'chilus. Stam katnas Irish guy. The latest COVID results, you know. And who's right? All of us have become over the past 5 or 6 months big professors. Who's right? And we sit at the Shabbos table. Everybody's deciding who's right, and how this new thing is crazy, and all this is. It's an Irish guy, no katnas. Person to spend even 1 minute talking about this Irish guy. It's not an Irish guy, Chalila, the sickness of the people have suffered, but the Irish guy, and of all the, how everybody became all of a sudden a big professor of infectious disease. And they're sitting around the table talking about this. Here you want, you know, some Zemiris, you want certain, you know, say over some Torah. And this one's talking about how Biden is a Russia, and Trump is a Russia, and what's going on with this and what's going on with that, and whether the masks work or the masks don't work, which shul in the neighborhood has the gzeira, which shul doesn't have the gzeira, and so on and so forth. It's an Irish guy. It's an unbelievable katnas. It's just the most current example of katnas. Even when it's not corona, there always seems to be a steady supply of katnas, where, you know, there's no shortage of katnas. You could be in shul and you're davening and you're trying to connect, and the guy next to you is an Irish guy. So it's a milchama gedayla. Yimei katnas yesh ba'olam asar ha'adam milchama gedayla. It takes a tremendous war. It's milchama gedayla. Sheyuchel es kar v'lo yisbarach, to be able to try to pull yourself a little bit closer to Hashem. We're very much influenced by, we're affected by our surroundings. There's no question. In a number of places, in Eretz Tshuva, Rav Kook, and in his other svarim, Rav Kook speaks about how the Yesod of Tshuva is a shift from smallness to greatness. Shifting from a small place to a big place. He's not talking about tshuva from this sin, from that sin. He's talking about the sin of smallness. That itself is you didn't do anything wrong per se, but you remember that the Baal Shem Tov taught that chet is a lashon of lahachti as a matar, it's a lashon of missing the target, being off. Lahachti means being off. And you could, a person, without doing any averis, he could be a novel berushus haTorah. Lahachti as a matar. He could be like the Ramban says, a very less than distinguished Jew, even though he's not doing any averis, because he's simply missing the target. He's in a place of terrible smallness. So how could he possibly be Mizdabek Tasha? How could he be Mizdabek Tasha? He's not doing any averis. He's not doing anything wrong. It's a novel Bishus Atar. So how could he be Dovuk to Hashem in such a place? So Muhammad Gadarlo Shiuchal Eskarvi Lov Yisburg. So Iker Haschar So, what about this Jew, this wonderful person? That he's in a place of katnus, and he's dragged down by it. Let's face it; it's very hard. In the office, there's an atmosphere of tremendous katnus. Those of you have to be in an office someplace. It's an atmosphere of terrible katnus. It could be much worse than katnus. It could be shiftless, disgusting things. But the color pachas, it's usually a katnus. Or even in the house, it could be such katnus. So every single drop of Yiddishkeit, every single drop of Avodas Hashem in that matzav is al tzada hechrich. It's you lose you don't have a strong cheshek. You're in a place of katnus, and you continue on, hopefully keeping mitzvahs and staying away from avarice, but not because of cheshek and rotzen, not because you're excited, but because you have to. Because you feel the mountain is over your head, that you don't have a choice, you're a Jew. Agam shelo yuchal la'aseis hatov b'poel. You can't even be Isaac in the tov b'poel. Again, you're not doing any averis. You're holding yourself, you're doing your best, but you're not able to have any kind of an aliyah to something higher. Because you're in a place that's, first of all, you're working, and you have to concentrate on work. So you're dealing with customers and clients. You're talking about all kinds of small things. So what are you supposed to do? You can't think of two things at the same time. You're not the Rogachev, you're not Reb Chaim Eiser. Absurdic, whatever the geniuses that could think of a bunch of things at the same time. You're trying to talk to your customer. You have to concentrate on what you're saying. So you're in a place of katnus. You know, whatever it is, you're selling. You're trying to sell the guy something. You're selling him. You're selling him something, and you have to be in that place of the katnus. So at best, you're trying not to do any averus, and you're trying to be at least a kolapachas to behave. But to have an aliyah and to be mizdabik to elokus and that matzav of katnas, it's you can't do it. Mikol mokom, nevertheless, the Baal Shem Tov says, brings the pasuk in Tehillim. Belibi tzafanti imrasach. Libi tzafanti imersecha. David HaMelech says that in my heart, I have hidden your words. Libi tzafanti imersecha. I can't consciously think of these words now, because then I'm going to mess up with the customer. Or I'm going to mess up with my kids, whatever it is. I have to be actively in the place of katnus. But Rabbi Shalom, you know that Libi tzafanti imersecha, that in my heart, I'm hiding your words. I'm holding on to your words inside of my heart. Libi tzafanti imersecha. Right now, it's not in a conscious way. But those words and your presence, it doesn't just mean words of Torah, it means your presence is tzafanti, libi tzafanti. I once told over at a siyum that we had years ago, a vart from my Rebbe, from Yosha Be'er, Zechon Levracha, that he once spoke by a siyum, we say, Hadron Allah, Hadron Halan, I will return to you, Mesechta Erevin, and you will return to me, right? Hadron Allah. So Rabbi Yosha Be'er explained that there are two levels of consciousness. There's, I forgot the word they used, but there's a level of intense and profound consciousness when I'm mamish in a place of godless and I'm focused on something. And then there's sort of a latent, hidden consciousness. And he explained that, for instance, you have times where the mother is very actively busy playing and laughing and talking to her child. She's engaged with her child. But then she has to go and to prepare supper. And she goes into the kitchen and she leaves the child with some toys and different things. And the kid is busy. And the mother is very, very preoccupied in the kitchen, taking care of things. Well, she might be on a phone call, an important phone call that she had to take. And she's not with the kid. But then all of a sudden, the baby gives a cry. Something happens. The kid fell down, banged himself. And the mother throws down the phone or throws down whatever she was doing in the kitchen, even though it was something important, whatever, she was on a call. She throws it down. And she runs, what is it? What is it, Yanki? What is it, Maishi? And she runs to the baby. So he said a very beautiful part. He said that even though right now she's not in a place of intense, profound consciousness, but even when she's not with the child, the child is ever present in her heart. So even though other people might not even hear that in the kitchen, the baby giving a krechts, they might not be able to hear that. How many times I remember when the children were little, or they were babies, I'd be sitting with my wife. We'd be sitting at the table. There were people talking and so on. All of a sudden, my wife says, "Oy vey, so-and-so is crying." I didn't hear anything. All right, I didn't hear anything, you know, sometimes when they're screaming and it was quiet in the house either. That's for other reasons. That's being neglectful of my responsibilities. But you could be sitting and everybody's talking and no one hears except who? The mother hears. So the Rav said a beautiful part. He said that when we say at the end of a mesachta, I will return to you, you'll return to me, it means right now I'm not going to be learning you anymore. This Gemara, I finished. And I'm moving on to something else. I'm not going to be with you anymore. But believe it's a fanti imesecha, but your words are in my heart. And therefore, at any moment, I will return to you. I'll remember something. I'll connect to you. Believe it's a fanti imesecha. Hadron Allah, Hadron Chalon. It's beautiful. And he explains with that the Taisus and Drachis that a person makes one Birchas Torah, you make Birchas Torah in the morning, and that works for you throughout the entire day. And Tosfos says, Akasha, hi, you leave the sukkah. If you leave the sukkah, you have to come back, you make a new bracha leisha b'sukkah. Why? Because in Mesir Das, Tosfos brings down your Mesir Das from the sukkah, right? So why is it that I make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then I go to work, and I'm busy with a million things, and I can open up a safe, and I don't have to say another Birchas HaTorah? So he explains, because even though you're not in that place of heightened, profound awareness and consciousness, but there's always that longing of Hadron Alach and Hadron Alach. I'm always thinking of returning to you. Therefore, if you make one bracha of Berachas HaTorah in the morning, it carries you throughout until you go to sleep that night. Because it's subconsciously, it's there. You're not actively in that place, but it's there. And therefore you don't have to make another bracha when you learn during the day. Because you're just returning to where you really want to be. You're returning to where you want to be. So Baal Shem says that even though during the times of Katnas, we have no choice and we have to be in the places of Katnas, nevertheless, and therefore I'm just keeping the mitzvahs, or I'm not doing a various because mitzvah hechrich, because of the mountain over my head, because of basic Yiras Shamayim, whatever, Yiras Einish, whatever it might be. But mikol mokum belibi tzafanti imrasecha. But in my heart, I have hidden your words. And outside, meaning in what you're doing, in Lamaisa, what you're doing, you're involved with in Yonim Gashmiyim. There are people, when they go to Nyonim Gashmiyim, it's like going to a different planet. They go to a different planet, and it's like they were never in shul in the morning. It's like it's a completely different world. And then they go back later on, and back to Kedusha. You have people that when they're in their home, the big Talmid Chacham or Chassidish Yidden in their homes, and then they go to the office, they go to work. It's like another person altogether. Mr. Katnas, Reb Katnas. Two different worlds. It doesn't think a thought, it doesn't have a smell of Kedusha at all during the day. Not that he does Chalila anything terrible. Sometimes a look here, a word there, because he's completely disengaged. He doesn't have this belibi tzafanti or mesach, it's a choshev madrega, to carry in your heart Hashem is Baruch, to carry your own wife in your heart when you go out someplace. Person's on the street, the person's in the office, and there are other people there. And it's very, very easy to live a double life. And when you're outside the house, to forget that you have a wife, to forget that you have a Rabban Shalom outside the house. This happens a lot, but I was in the country I was in the mountains, and I was with one of my grandchildren. We went someplace and we were taking a walk, and I met a Chassidish Yid that I know for many years. Now, when I would see him in the city, he's got all the beautiful levushim and his payas are down, and he's a Shaina Yid. I see him over there. He's wearing, you know, like a shirt, with a little alligator, you know, and he's got his payas. They're so tight that I'm afraid his head's going to explode. You know, he's got his payas up, and he's got a different look. His beard is all the way tight, pinned up, you know. And I joked with him. I said, "No, I didn't recognize you." He said, "What do you mean you didn't recognize?" I said, "I didn't recognize you, you know." He said, "Oh, come on." He says, "This is the country. This is the country. Yeah, so what's the country? What's the country? There are different places in the world. There are places of godless and there are places of godless. When he's in his place of godless, back home, on his street, and his Bismedrus, where his Rebbe is, so then he's in a place of godless, and then now he's in the country, and the country is a place of godless. They're two different worlds. Remember the story from the Mehemes when he told that Chassid when he was going to Paris to make sure to buy him a cigar. And a certain, you're going to be in Paris, I want you to buy me a cigar. There's a certain kind of cigar you can get in Paris, it's the best cigar. And the guy forgot. He was too busy. When he came back, the Rebbe said, no, where's my cigar? Oh, I'll go back, I'll find it in Poland somewhere. And the Rebbe said, do you think I care about that stupid cigar? I wanted to, but you're in Paris, you should remember that you have a Rebbe that's sitting in Warsaw. I think I care about the cigar. Your problem, he was saying to this chassid, is that when you leave Ger, when you leave Warsaw, you're in Paris. Zehu, you're in Paris. And I wanted to give you a shiraim of myself, not a piece of fish or a piece of challah. I wanted to give you a piece of myself, a reminder that you have a Rebbe that's waiting for you, a Rebbe that's sitting in back in Poland. Belibi tzafanti imresecha. Even though you're bachutz, when you're outside, yase in yonim gashmi, you have to be Isaac in gashmis. V'zeo shama chazal, toiru umalocha, shiyigiyas shneihem, mashkachas avay. And that's the deeper meaning of what chazal say, in the Mishnah, that it's a gewaldige thing to be able to combine together Torah and Melacha, Torah and work. Because Yigia Shneyam Mashkachas Oven. Because if you work hard at these two things, at Torah, learning, and work, Mashkachas Oven, then you're going to stay away from Aveiros. So, the simple pshat in Yigiyas Shneihem, Mashkachas Ovein, the simple pshat is that people say that, oh, you have this kind of a life. It's very good. You learn a little bit in the morning, and you learn a little bit at night, and you go to work in the middle, and that's a good life, and that's Mashkachas Ovein. But the Baal Shem is saying it's much deeper than that. If you have those as two separate dimensions of your life, that's not going to necessarily keep you from doing aveiros. He says Yigia Shneya means that you live in both of those worlds simultaneously. That even though you're at work, the libi tzafanti emesecha, the Torah is sitting on your heart. That's called Yigias Shneihem. Doesn't mean when you walk away from the sefer, you're done. You're finished. And now you're in another world. You're in the world of work. No, it means yigiyas shneihem. Shnei means sezamen, together. That's mashkachas oven. That's mashkachas oven. Yigiyas shneihem, mashkachas oven. You could even say the other way also, that when you're learning, you should remember work. It should be with you also. Not the gashmius aspect, but the fact that lasik b'divrei Torah, the fact that you, how much energy you pour into your work, into your customers, your clients, whatever they are, into what your job is, into how hard you work, and you should have that when you're learning. You should be so serious when you're learning. You should be so hardworking, and you should be so focused when you're learning. You can't, what we do when we learn, you can't get away with a customer. Let's say you have some big billionaire customer, right? And you're trying to make a pitch to this guy. and you're talking to him, you know, you don't sit back like on a, you don't sit back on your chair and push your yarmulke like this and start daydreaming. And then this Bill Gates says to you, I'm talking to you. Hey, what's the matter with you? I'm thinking about buying 50 buildings from you. And you sing back and you have a coffee and you say to me, hey, Bill, I need a break. We've been talking already for 4 minutes. I can't concentrate so much. But you could be sitting and learning in every 4 minutes. And you got your coffee, and then you check your phone. Can you imagine you're sitting there with Bill Gates or Warren Buffett? Those are the two most famous rich people I heard of. Rothschild. You're sitting there with Rothschild, and you start looking at your emails. You start looking at your phone. You forget, you're lost. No, he's not going to buy anything from you. He's not going to work with you. But when it comes to sitting in the base medrash, or especially if you're sitting and learning at home, and especially if you don't have a chavusa, even the chavusa, but even if you don't have a chavusa, every 5 minutes, you check this email, you look for this, you have such machshavas that is daydreaming, going to all different places. So, yigiyah shnei mashkachas oven deval shem tov zvart, that both of them together work, it goes both ways. When you're at work, believe it's a fanti mesecha. Hashem, your words are in my heart. And I'm every second poised to return to you, to go back to my learning, to go back to the world of Kedusha and Godless. And the same thing, that when you're learning, believe it's a fanti in your heart, you could keep within your heart that intensity, that seriousness, that concentration of how you are at work. It's awesome. The Chayotze Bezeh. Chayotze Bezeh means that, and that's what Chazal are telling us also in many other places when they speak about Torah together with Derech Eretz, Torah together with work, combining Torah with work. The Baal Shem says on a deeper level wasn't talking about a divided day. He was talking about a full day where even while you're working, believe it's a fanti mesecha, you have a part of you that's bound to Kedusha, that's in a place of Kedusha. You don't divide your life into different parts. It's a very big sickness nowadays, that compartmentalization of life. You could be the biggest tzaddik in shul and then you're chalila, very different person outside. Or in the home, you're a certain kind of a person, and at work, you're a different person. Or on the street, you're a different person. You could have a person that's sitting and learning, and then when he's in a bais medrash, and he's a chash of a guy, and then he sits around when he's by himself, and he's playing with his phone, his eyes in Paris, divided and split. So the Baal Shem says that when Chazal tell us about Torah together with Derech Eretz, Torah together with Melacha, it's not on a deep level, it doesn't mean a divided person. It means a whole person, an integrated person. That's what it means. Yigiyah shnei mashkachas ov mechayetz b'zeh. Uchshaba eze talmud. Right, you know what? I have to go get ready for davening because I'm in shul. I don't know how this is supposed to work. Everybody has to be in shul, I guess, with their machines to look. So I'm going to go get ready for davening at 7. And Bez Hashem will pick up from here. Not next week. Next week is Erev Yontif, so it's Bez Hashem. In 2 weeks, we'll pick up over here. For anybody who I don't see before Yontif, first have a good Shabbos. It should be a good Gebenstur. Cultive.